Well, as we've been discussing this morning, schools are closing, some sporting events are being cancelled, some flights grounded. But the coronavirus also seems to be hitting areas where religious practice is more intense. In Iran, in South Korea, parts of Italy particularly vulnerable. Is this a coincidence? RN's Andrew West is speaking with one of Australia's leading experts on interfaith relations, Professor Gary Baumer of Monash University.
The critical dimension here, as well as in earlier cases, is how close people get to other people. If that's the critical dimension, then there might be some religious factors in that. The South Korean primary case seems to have been a religious group that meets in large numbers in close proximity and did so at a particular time when this highly contagious virus could go and did. Iran would be a similar case where Muslims gather regularly once a week on Friday for their Jummah prayers, and this is frequently done in large numbers in close proximity where the transmission of the virus would be easily accomplished.
There are religious practices that of necessity are communal practices. Does that make religion more susceptible then to these viruses?
It does, and that has to be managed in responsible ways. And many religious groups are doing precisely that. Close proximity for this virus appears to be exactly the mode of transmission, or the whole business of surface sharing. If you share plates, cutlery, but the whole business of people in close proximity. So if you gather in large congregations, like Pentecostals are wont to do, or Muslims at prayer time, those large numbers would have to be watched, even as large numbers at sporting matches would have to be, the same issues would apply.
How seriously do you think the coronavirus could affect the actual ongoing practice of many religions? The very physical things that are so integral to a lot of religious services.
Well, it does affect, as far as I'm concerned. I've noted the change. I can take the Anglican example, the passing of the common cup. We went all the way through the AIDS crisis without giving up passing the common cup. But that isn't the way the AIDS virus was transmitted. It wasn't particles of vapor from the mouth. This virus is transmitted in a way that would make the common cup much more dangerous. And so I know of many Anglican churches who have said, we will do like the Catholics, and only the priest will consume the wine, and everybody will get the bread. And there's long theologies about why that's perfectly adequate. But that's a change of normal practice for Anglicans, and some might find that difficult. Then there's the whole business of the greeting of peace in the middle of the Anglican and Catholic services. Now, are you going to do that by touching or not touching? And probably the most interesting thing that produced a giggle in the congregation last Sunday was they won't pass the plate. You'll have a retiring collection. But these are priests taking leadership positions and saying, look, we respect you. This is a dangerous thing. For the time being, until we know more about it, let's do this and honor each other in ways that are safer. If I were, Muslim and considering going to large Friday prayers, I would have to think twice about it.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying, that, for example, Australia's Muslim community, it is not uncommon to have 1,000 people at prayer on a Friday.
Absolutely. And they are in very close proximity. So what do you do? And I think it's up to the religious communities to, in careful discussion with people under good leadership, figure out how it is that they will respond.
That's Professor Gary Baumer of Monash University. And you can hear that interview in full on the Religion and Ethics Report with Andrew West this afternoon at 5:30 here on RN or any time on the ABC Listen app.